We have two readings this morning. The first is from John chapter 7. John chapter 7 can be found on page 127, 127 of the church Bibles. And it's starting at verse 37. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Whoever is thirsty, come to me, and whoever believes in me should drink, as the scripture says. Streams of life-giving water will pour out from his side." Jesus said this about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were going to receive. At that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not been raised to glory. And then we move to Acts chapter 2. You have it up on the screen, page number, etc., if you're going to follow it. If you were to read this passage in the Authorized Version, it says something about the disciples being of one accord in one place. It seems strange that we translated as to gathered together in one place. I wonder whether the Authorized Version has the meaning right. They were in unity together in that one place. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. And when they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers speaking in his or her own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native tongues? We are from Parthia, Media, Elam, and from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own tongues about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The wind can be blowing, but if you haven't raised the sail, you won't go very far. You can be surrounded by oxygen, but if you choose not to breathe, it won't do you any good. In fact, it'll kill you. The sap can be flowing, but if a branch isn't connected to the vine, it will wither and die. If you don't have kindling and wood for the fire, a lit match won't burn for very long. And it's the same with the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire. We are useless, said Charles Haddon Spurgeon. But you and I are surrounded by the aliveness, the activity of God's Spirit. All that remains is for us to learn how to let the Spirit fill and flow and glow within each of us. Now, in the world of technology, there was a development in the last century called hypersonic sound. The inventor, Elwood Norris, known as Woody, engineered sound waves to travel like a laser beam for about 150 yards. It allowed sounds to be heard by a person in a particular place, but not by those immediately around them. You could be listening to music or specific instructions while those standing next to you would be left in total silence. If you move out of the tightly formed path of these unique sound waves, you too would be unaware of any noise. It's a pity they couldn't have done that at the wreck, isn't it, really? Good communication with us is very similar to these sound waves. We must be in the right place to hear the Holy Spirit, and then we'll hear the message. We'll hear it clearly. Both head and heart need to be in the right place. If we move away from the pathway of the Spirit's voice, we become unaware of the fact that the Spirit is communicating with us, and we subsequently miss it. Now, to start with the heart, the source of our desires, that's where our problems begin, and that's where our healing also begins. When we desire to be filled by the Spirit begins to transform our desires so that God's desires become our own. Instead of doing the right thing because we have to, we do the right thing because we want to. How often do you do the right thing because you want to? The other day, I sat at home in the evening and something compelled me to go to somebody's house. I really did not want to go. I went because I felt I had to. I know why I went. Because then, as I arrived, the mother had a phone call from her son, incredibly distressed, who was arriving at Chippenham Station, and I was the only person who could pick him up. He'd been living rough for a number of days. I had a sense of the Spirit within me, but I did it because I felt I had to, not because I wanted to. Once our desires are being changed, a revolution is set in motion. Now, the New Testament gives us a simple image of how desire translates into action, and it's by walking. There's a little video that's gone viral recently of a baby just been born. I don't know whether any of you have seen it. But the midwife is holding the baby in one hand, lying on his tummy. And she's just holding him there, and then these legs of this newborn baby are actually walking. She's supporting it, but it's actually walking. Thousands of millions of people have seen it. Now, that's not what usually happens. Certainly when I was born, I know that I couldn't roll over, let alone crawl, much less walk or run. But eventually there was a desire in me to move and explore, and gradually, clumsily translated the desire to stand and to action. First, we learn to roll over, then crawl, then stand, then toddle. And eventually we master the art of transforming our desire into movement. And so now, with hardly a thought, we walk, we run, we jump. Well, maybe some of us do. We dance. The image of walking is everywhere in the Bible. We are told to walk in the Spirit, walk in the light, walk in love, walk in newness of life, walk in faith, walk in good works, walk in the truth. And to be a disciple is to be a follower of a mentor, which means walking in the mentor's footsteps. It's about longing to be like them. In the days of Jesus, when the students were with their rabbi, they used to talk about covering yourself in the dust of the rabbi's feet. Wherever you went in that dusty climate, you wanted to be like the rabbi, and so metaphorically you had this sense of covering yourself completely in his dust. The image is simple. Step, one step at a time, drawn by our desire, leaning forward, doing the next great right thing, keeping our focus on the goal, leaving the past behind. If you trip up, you regain your balance and you keep walking. If you fall, you get up again and you keep on walking. If you're distracted or wander off the path, you need to refocus yourself towards the goal and you keep on. And Jesus used another vivid image to convey the same idea. A branch abiding in the vine. If the branch were to separate itself from the vine, it would wither and die. But if it simply stays connected, the vine's strength flows into the branch and bears fruit through it. So if we abide, or if we remain connected with Christ, the Spirit will flow with God's strength in and through us, making us more beautiful. Won't that be nice? And more fruitful. And Paul uses similar images. Stir up the fire within you, he said to Timothy, just as fires need to be tended, so our inner life needs to be tended too. I love poking the fire. I don't know about you. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he used the image of the welcoming guest, making room in our hearts so the Spirit of Christ can dwell in us richly. And in his letter to the Ephesians, he made a parallel to drinking wine. Just as a load of alcohol can change your behavior for the worse, being filled with the Spirit can change your behavior for the better. If you and I want to gain practice walking in the Spirit or abiding in Christ or tending the inner flame, you can start every morning when you wake up, before your feet hit the floor. Open your heart to the Spirit of God. Ask God to help you walk in the Spirit, step by step throughout the day. Ask God to help you to abide in the vine so that the good fruit will naturally develop in your life. Ask God to keep the fire burning within you. If we all did that sincerely every day, that would make a profound difference. Morning by morning, as we build that habit of yielding ourselves to the Spirit, we can build that habit of checking in with the Spirit hour by hour throughout the day. Maybe you've even forgotten that ritual at every meal of saying grace before you eat, a way of checking in and reconnecting with the Spirit. As you travel from place to place, whether walking or cycling, Jeff, or on the train or in the car, as you wait for someone, whenever you have a free moment, you can offer yourself to God. Here I am, Lord. Please move in me and through me so that I might bless others. Whenever an emergency or a challenge arises, you can lean on the Spirit. Give me wisdom, Spirit of God. Give me strength. Give me patience. When you sense that you have let something other than God's Spirit fill you and direct you, like anger or fear or prejudice or lust or greed or anxiety, or that inferiority or rivalry, you can stop, acknowledge your error, and re-surrender your spirit to God. It's a bit like breathing, exhaling an acknowledgement of your error and inhaling the forgiveness and start walking in the Spirit again. And at the end of the day, you can look back with gratitude, resting on the Spirit until a new day begins and you continue walking the journey of faith again. As we walk in the Spirit, we pass through different kinds of terrain. We walk through beautiful valleys where life is full of joy and we feel like dancing. We walk along uphill paths where we seem to slide back two steps for every three steps forward. We walk along slippery tracks where it's easy to fall and through boggy patches where we get bogged down. We walk through dark passages where we can easily lose our way and across flat terrain where nothing seems to change from mile to mile. And we walk through dangerous territory where bullets fly and it's easy to get wounded, and in peaceful places where we can breathe freely again. Through it all, we need patience, endurance, and perseverance so that no matter what happens, we'll keep putting one foot in front of the other. If you and I don't give up, as mile adds to mile, each of us will have stories to tell. Stories of how the Spirit has guided, empowered, inspired, restrained, sustained, and trained us in the fine art of being alive in God. And that's another great blessing of being part of a community of faith. Along the way, we gather together at table like this, or in our homes, and share stories of our journey of faith. We share our joys and our sorrows. We share our mistakes and our falls and the lessons we've learned. We share something of our vulnerability. We share ways in which the Spirit is moving in us, among us, and through us. It's important that we share, because in doing so, we encourage each other. And then we get back on the road. Sadly, some people get distracted and lose their way. Instead of continuing to walk in the Spirit, they slow down, look back proudly on how far they've come. They become highly impressed in all that they've learnt. Those theological concepts, the Bible truths, our Christian history, and so on. But pretty soon they come to a standstill. And they'll start to brag amongst themselves, comparing themselves to others who haven't walked as far or as fast or as wisely as they have. And then they're in danger of forming little camps, sitting around day after day, quarreling about this or that fine point of the walking theory. But pretty soon, they're soon out of shape, and they give up walking altogether and specialize talking about the way others walk. You know what I mean. You've seen it. But that's their choice. But for us, we keep on walking. Let's keep on the road. However far we come, there is far more ahead to explore. We have seen these past days the acts of those who are given a cause to die for. But you and I are given a cause to live for. There's a story about a little boy who was flying his kite. It was a windy day and the kite kept rising higher and higher. Finally, it got so high it was out of sight. And a man passed by and saw the little boy holding the strings. And the man, looking up, couldn't see the kite. And he asked the boy, "How do you even know that you have a kite up there?" And the boy replied, "Because I can feel it. Because I can feel it." Can you feel that Spirit moving amongst us? The challenge for all of us is to keep moving in tune and in time with it. Amen. We're going to pray together. Here I am, Lord. Give me wisdom, Spirit of God. give me strength. Give me patience. May all that blocks the Spirit moving in and through me be gone. Move in me and through me so that I may bless others. Move in and through your church here so that we may bless this community.